This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Four teams remain in the NFL playoffs, and that means only four teams left for you to bet on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right? But in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. We're going to give it to him.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Charlie Collier, Hayden pulling in late as always. Here he comes. Come on in. Come on in. Welcome to the show.
It's a really good looking jacket.
Get here when you can. Credit to Hayden. He's still been wearing his Titans gear. It's been a little tougher for me, but credit to him. Still repping the squad. Love to see it. How are we today? Thumbs up from Hayden.
Love to see it.
At least that's a positive. Cam, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I have returned victorious.
Okay. We were all worried about you, and we're glad to know that you came through in the clutch.
I did. I had to win a tiebreaker to win. The questions were pretty easy, so I think a lot of teams just kind of rocked and rolled through it. But
credit to you for being honest about that.
Yeah.
Coming in like, oh, if that was me, I'd be like, oh, man, they're really tough. I don't know how I got all these.
I turned in every question first, so I was dominating, basically, at least mentally.
That should be the tiebreaker.
Yeah, I turned every single one in first. I even had to correct them on a question. They said somebody said something, and I was like, oh, no, it was actually this guy, but whatever. Still knew the thing, so it didn't really matter in the grand scheme, but yeah, had to win a tiebreaker, which, you know, I feel like kind of, I don't know. Didn't like that. I wish it was a little bit harder, so it was a little bit more competitive. I don't like that you had to basically be like, hey, do you remember the box office numbers of this random movie as a tiebreaker? Didn't really seem like I was necessarily, you know, MCU knowledge per se.
Okay.
But, you know, came out on top.
You're a champion, and that's all that matters.
Absolutely.
You win, they lose.
Yeah, I guess I'm now the champion of Knoxville as far as Marvel Cinematic Universe goes.
I don't know who else could make the claim.
They could all challenge me yesterday, and everybody that did.
You talked about it.
So.
You let them know. They didn't show up. They were cowards.
Yep.
So now you're the champ. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Charlie, how are you?
I feel pretty good to be in the presence of the Marvel champion of Knoxville, Tennessee.
Thank you, Charlie.
Really, I'm proud of you. I'm glad
Thank
you won.
Thank you.
Other than that, pretty good. Pretty good. Always feels good to beat Florida, so you know, makes you feel happy the next day, and the day after.
Well, it was a nice little win for the Vols last night. Nice little win. It was one that they made you sweat in the first half, and you got to go through the range of emotions of like, man, what is wrong with this team? And then they came through, got hot, played some good defense in the second half. Yep. The offense, I thought, was promising for most of the night. I mean, there were, you know, some times in the first half where you went on a couple of droughts, but I don't feel like you really had that happen to you in the second half, and Tennessee gets out with another home win over Florida, continues to kick their ass.
Mm-hmm.
Then a little dust-up after the game kind of gave you everything you wanted.
Oh, yeah, love that.
The only thing I would point to, if we're looking for, you want to start with positives or negatives? Where do we want to start?
Negatives.
Negatives. Let's start with the negatives first. Negatives would be like, okay, was that was that Uros crashing back down to reality? Like, I mean, he was just out of his mind last night.
I think it was a matchup that didn't suit him.
I don't think as – I mean, the matchup, sure, they played five out. That's fine. But he also lost his mind getting that technical foul. You can't shove somebody in the back.
I'm cool with it.
I don't think Barnes was.
Honestly, Barnes wasn't.
He didn't play again after that.
I don't know. I think it kind of helps with our identity a little bit. You know, as soon as – we've been getting – a little bit more physical, a little bit more aggressive, you know, a little chippy lately.
There.
And I think that's kind of fed into our favorites, giving us a little bit more energy. You know, I think we've played better basketball and we've played chippy basketball, as weird as that sounds. So, you know, obviously you don't want him to be shoving people. You need him to, you know, play with a controlled chippiness. But I don't really have that big of a problem with it because I think he does provide such a spark.
He has provided some toughness. Now, you know, I wonder if that's going to get reeled back in because after the game, you do have the ruckus, almost a brawl. Barnes in the postgame presser didn't seem very thrilled with it. Said we got to be a classy program and not get in the mud with that stuff.
I mean, it's back-to-back games that we've had dust-ups.
Yeah, no, I mean, like Uros brings that energy for sure, and it has, you know, kind of emboldened probably your second toughest player, Vescovy. Ziegler's right there too, and I thought he was awesome in the first half especially. I think he kept you in the game. There was a moment it looked like Florida might just run away with it. And, you know, at the beginning of the game, Charlie, it felt a lot like what we had kind of warned about when it came to this game, which was one team needed it more.
Yeah.
First 10 minutes, it looked like one team needed it and wanted it a lot more, right? Like, Florida came out, and they were the aggressors, and they were maybe a little loose, I guess, from playing, you know, just two nights before. They came out, was hitting some, you know, some lucky threes. It was a team that didn't shoot very well from three that all of a sudden was, like, hitting everything, which seems to be kind of like Tennessee luck.
Always seems that way, for sure.
But then once Zakai got in, you know, he kind of changed the energy in that game and, you know, kept you in it and hit a couple threes, including one off the back, kissing off the backboard from an angle where he definitely wasn't trying to kiss it off the backboard. So Tennessee got a little luck. They're going their way, too. And then, you know, in the second half, you clamped down, played much better defense, held them to 29 points. You had Fulkerson coming up, make a couple big plays. And, you know, you got to win.
Yeah, they had me scared in the first half where you went on that, like, there was literally a five-minute stretch where we didn't attempt a single shot, and we had seven turnovers. Just five straight minutes of that, and it was just a mess. And you're like, oh, my gosh, are they going to do this again? One of those offensive games. But like you said, second half was a lot better, I think, especially offensively. And, yeah, you got the win. That's the important thing.
Tennessee,
and you hit your free throws. You hit your free throws. You did it.
17 of 18, including 6 of 6 from Kenny Chandler, and Tennessee did kind of need some free throws at the end because they, you know, turned the ball over and let Florida hit a three and cut it to three.
He didn't fall back, I guess.
And then Chandler, yeah, hit 6 of 6, and still a little frustrating from Chandler. I mean, 5 assists, 3 turnovers. That doesn't, you know, look terrible on the page, but just watching him, just some real careless moments with the basketball. Especially, and there was a couple of times Tennessee, you know, had a little bit of a lead and was threatening to pull away, and then he'd turn the ball over.
Yeah.
There was one instance where he turned the ball over, then got back and, like, at least stole it back or at least knocked it out of bounds to let the defense get set up. But, you know, I thought that he was still a little sloppy with the ball, and I don't know if it's his size just being affected by college players, but, like, he's been a little bad around the rim. Like, whenever he's just not laying it up, his floater and, like, him, you know, just kind of trying to drive sometimes hasn't gone as well as I thought it was going to, at least at the beginning of the year.
Absolutely.
Maybe it's a little bit of a slump, and then the floater starts falling. If the floater starts falling, that opens up everything else. Like, I mean, like, he's not dissimilar from Trae Young in that respect of, like, Trae likes to shoot the rely on the floater kind of as an undersized guard himself.
Yep.
And Chandler tries to have that and just can't hit it at the same clip yet.
Yeah, if he gets that, he'll be dangerous. Would be nice if he gets that before, you know, get the tournament time, SEC tournament time, like that.
It would just open up more things for him. But I thought Chandler, you know, 17 points is a good scoring performance from him. It didn't even really seem like that watching the game last night.
Yeah, and I think I'll take one thing at a time, to be honest. So the free throws, I think, is big. That's a step in the right direction. Probably good for his confidence as well, I'd say.
And I thought, you know, maybe the biggest positive was, A, you have Fulkerson that seems to be completely embracing his role off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying the right things. He's playing the right way. And I thought last night he had some real energy. You know, I thought his and one, that maybe shouldn't have been an and one, I don't know. Like, it seemed like it maybe was on the ground, especially in college basketball. I don't know. But his and one to put Tennessee up, I believe, five, felt like the moment where you kind of knew Tennessee was going to win.
Yeah.
Then you still, you know, had to sweat a little bit until, oh, what's his name from Florida shot a corner three off the top of the backboard for maybe the worst three-point shot I've ever seen. I felt bad for him a little bit. I felt a little bad for him.
I didn't. I like
that look on his face is just like, man, what did I just do? And I felt a little bad for him.
I want the opposition to not only fail but to embarrass themselves.
Sure. He thought he was about to be a hero, and then nope, right off the top of the backboard. And at that point, you knew Tennessee was going to win. Gritty. I don't know if it should have been as close, but you're playing against a team that is fighting for their lives. I mean, you again. I think you saw the fight from Florida even after the game, obviously. Like they mm-hmm. It's kind of cliche to say laid it all out there, but they definitely seemed like invested and they fought hard.
Oh, absolutely.
They probably felt like they got a little cheated as well. I know Jimmy Dykes felt like they got cheated on that three-pointer, which probably would have wanted that call if it was me. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get rid of the guy pump-faking, jumping in unnaturally into opponents to like get a foul shot, so... You know, Florida did try that basically a couple plays later from the corner on Josiah. He was able to kind of get by. And you saw the Florida player try to jump out into the side and miss him and then throw up basically an air ball.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to cry too much for Florida not getting the call there. But it was at a big point, and then Tennessee, you know, comes down and hits a three instead. Was that the Josiah three maybe?
Oh.
I believe that was the line drive three that Josiah made that took it from a one-point game to four, I believe. So it's basically a six-point swing, and Tennessee, I don't think, ever let the lead up after that. They advance to 5-3 in SEC play. We'll keep talking about it after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Your pet is an important part of your family, and when he or she is ill, you want the best medical care available. The vet...
Back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, only 100 calories and 1 gram of sugar. We love White Claw Hard Seltzer. Mm-hmm. Drink some White Claw Hard Seltzer tonight or this weekend, whenever. Right now, during lunch, take the edge off. You've had a hard day. You deserve it. You're working from home. No one cares.
They can't see you. Turn off your camera.
Just simply put a piece of piece of paper over the camera. That's it. Problem solved. Drink all the White Claw you want responsibly.
It's clear liquid. You can just put it in
a glass.
You can put it in like your whatever you call it.
Yeah.
And no one's going to know the difference.
It's like water. Oh, I'm drinking Sprite. No one will say anything. Good point by you, Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
Also a positive for White Claw Hard Seltzer.
Benefits are endless.
Please drink responsibly at home in the comfort of your own office as you do work for your company. Charlie, what were your big takeaways from last night's game? Does Vescovy continue to be the best player on the team?
I mean, Vescovy continuing not only to be the best player in the team, but then I think he's continuing to elevate his play a little bit more as he becomes, I guess, even more of like the alpha. I don't really know if the best way to put it necessarily, but
I mean, I think he is the alpha of the team. I know Uroš is the enforcer maybe, but it does seem like Vescovy is the alpha. He's there, not afraid to get dusted up either, and also, you know, he is a better player. No flame. It's just, you know, he's can do it on both ends of the court and can be one of your tough guards. And I think all the guards, like, I hope that eventually it starts rubbing off on Chandler, because I do say Chandler needs a little bit more dog in him.
Yes.
Ziegler has it. Vescovy has it. If Chandler had Ziegler's attitude, he'd be the best player in the country.
Probably.
But Santiago continues just his blistering streak from three. 4 of 6. Hayden, add these up. 4 of 6. 3 of 5, 5 of 11, and 5 of 8. You're my math guy. That's 17 of 30, I believe.
Oh, my God. You did that so fast.
Did it wrong, 17 of 31.
Oh,
Is that right? 11, 22. No, 30. I had it right the first time. 17 of 30. I had it right the first time. I don't know why I made you doubt. Let me let you doubt.
56.67.
That's what he's shooting from three of the last four games.
Sheesh.
I like that number.
Yeah. No, he is on fire right now. 20, 14, 16, 23 points his last four games. He has, you know, since we got to SEC play, been a all-conference type of player. I think maybe first team offensive, maybe first team all-SEC. I haven't looked enough.
I think guard is going to just be so tough with Ty and with Iverson Molinar.
Yeah, but I mean, they put eight people on the first team.
Do that? I thought it was like six.
That's eight.
No, they put eight. They do a real team. They don't, just do five.
I thought it was six.
They do the thing where they try to build out a real team. So, like, you have, like, a rotation of eight. So, like, I think he'll be – he has a chance at least maybe of being one of the top eight SEC players by the time we get to the end of the season. I feel like he's playing close to there now. Again, maybe I'm missing somebody, the kid from Arkansas, Nolte, who's leading the league in scoring. And then, of course, Shible has been a monster.
I mean, I think – Iverson Molinar, Ty Washington, Shibway, Nolte are locks. I'm trying to. I'm probably forgetting somebody too.
Okay.
So I think his name will be in there for sure.
You think Scottie Pippen Jr. will be on there?
Probably just because of his numbers.
I mean, I feel like Vescovy's been better than Scottie Pippen Jr. Now I don't watch every Vanderbilt game.
I think
game,
so too. I agree.
Scottie Pippen
good,
is not good closing games.
Yeah, I think he's
the
preseason.
He had a really
year,
bad
though.
Game recently too.
Maybe. I mean, there's still plenty of time, I mean, for this to change. But for my money, like, you know, again, I'm not watching all the SEC games, but Vescovy's been just as good as anybody in the league on most nights, except, you know, a couple of outliers, like, you know.
Other
Shibley's about to average 15 and 15 for the, I think, first time in, like, 30 years in college basketball, they said last night. So, I mean, I don't want to say he's been as good as anybody because that guy's been a monster.
Yeah.
But.
Otherwise, you know, maybe this is me just trying, you know, being a little bit too optimistic.
Okay.
But I've been noticing at least the last, since I guess the Kentucky game, that the offense is starting to find a renewed energy. Again, you know, they're moving better, they're passing better, they're playing smarter. And, you know, now that we're out of the stretch where you're consistently playing some really tough defenses, you know, Florida, not a great defense. They give you a lot of man-to-man, and you're not going to see incredibly tough defenses for a nice little stretch here. You want to see that offense, you know, see if they can produce better numbers now that they're out of that little, you know, run. And last night you were over 1.1 points per possession. You know, you shot 45% from the field. So that's another positive takeaway for me. I think the offense is making strides forward, which, you know, they had a long way to go, and they still do have a long way to go. But
what I will say about the offense, is that it looks really good when Tennessee's hitting some outside shots. They weren't hitting some outside shots whenever they were slumping. I don't think they're going to shoot 45%, obviously, but I don't think they're going to shoot 24% either. So, like, the truth is going to be somewhere in, like, the mid-30s, and I think that's good enough. Tennessee, I you know, people don't like hearing about bad luck, but a pretty poor shooting Florida team was on fire in the first half. Like, we talked about them being a sub-30% three-point shooting team before the game, and that was without, you know, that was with Castleberry or whatever his name is, Castleton, whoever the hell he is. That was without him. And then the first half, they just weren't missing anything. And then that equaled back out in the second half, and they ended up shooting only 30%, which is about where they shoot.
Yep. Law of averages. But, yeah, they hit their first couple. I was like, oh, geez, it's one of those games.
And, like, one of them was, like, from, like, the E in Tennessee. Yeah. And then another was, like, off the top of the glass. Like, I mean, like, they're just bad luck shots. And you're just like, okay, you just don't get frustrated. Just keep playing defense.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Which is good. They hung in there.
I do always want to give a shout-out to guys that deserve it. And I thought you got a good Josiah game last night.
Yeah, yeah, that's what you want from him. Especially if Urosh is going to be, you know, not getting rebounds and stuff like that.
Sure.
He's got to pick up the slack.
I mean, he did pick up the slack. I know Ziegler was the leading rebounder in the first half, but Josiah ended up with nine.
Mm-hmm.
9 points, nine rebounds, four assists, played some really good defense. And maybe most importantly, was able to play all 30, you know, not all, but 38 minutes of the 40.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee needed that because you weren't really getting anything from Urosh. And just, like, again, the way Florida was playing five out, you needed to go a little bit smaller and a little bit more athletic. And when Tennessee did that, they were able to play good defense and also, you know, take care of the boards. That was another positive. Tennessee, you know, at one point was up, I think, 23-11 in rebounding. That did somewhat get a little bit closer, although not really, 34-24. Like, Tennessee kind of just dominated the glass.
Feel like that doesn't happen a lot.
I think Tennessee's been a pretty good rebounding team despite some of their limitations. So, like, I don't know exactly what the numbers would, you know, spell out, but just from reading and talking to our friend Stats by Will, he says Tennessee's a pretty good defensive rebounding team. Now, maybe not so much on the offensive glass, and, you know, that did help Tennessee stay in it early in the second half. They had 10 offensive rebounds. Hayden, you got anything from this game? Anything stand out to you that I haven't said?
It was a sloppy first half. I mean, sure. But Florida played good, so I think they challenged Barnes to use a lot of different lineups with their small ball and, like, not having Castleton. So, like, they ran a lot of four guards that pushed Tennessee to run a lot of four guards. So it's good to have that experience, I guess.
I don't know if Tennessee would have gone four guards had Uroš, like, not just, like, again, I don't want to pick on him, but, like, it seemed like he was losing his mind. It seemed like he bought in a little bit too much of the tough guy stuff after LSU.
He
was trying to, like, play
into, it back in, big fella.
Right, he was trying to play into that a little bit too much. And, again, I like what he brings to the team
it.
With that.
I respect it.
You know, you have to contain it.
Yeah, there's
a
line.
You have to control it a little bit. And he got, like, a pass on one of them, and they're like, okay, here's your warning. And then basically he shoves the guy in the back on a free throw and just gives a technical foul out of nowhere.
See, that's how I like to play basketball. I love players like that.
Okay. I mean, it's one thing in pickup, Charlie. It's another thing when you're getting technicals and you're – I mean, I was in the first half of Tennessee. He was down, you know, basically put him back down double digits, I think. I think it put him back down 10 when they hit the free throws. And then, you know, he made a – I think he had a dumb foul at the beginning of the second half, and that was it for him. If he even played the second half, I might even be misremembering that.
They were going to put him in twice in the second half, and then Florida's big man, like, got – like, they Florida set their big man, so then Rick was like, no.
Yeah.
We ain't going to put you in because you're going to get exposed.
And I like that from Rick Barnes. I thought that was obviously a weakness. I thought last year, I thought it cost you ultimately in, like, the Alabama game. You just refuse to kind of match up with them, and you just kind of let them keep blowing by you, and you try to trust Uroš there in the SEC tournament, and I thought that hurts you, and I think – you know, at times, even going back to the Auburn games, you know, when Kyle Alexander was kind of getting run off the court. Like, yep. It kind of hurts you there, too. So, I will say, you know, Barnes being able to go small, and I do think Kumwa and James at the 5-4 can hold their own for stretches. And I thought Kumwa had a couple good moments, too. I mean, you know, his scoring has really slowed down. But I thought last night there was a couple possessions where he got you a good look. Was able to hit, like, a little turnaround off the glass and things of that nature. Gave you a couple big buckets. Cam, anything from you?
I was just glad, like you know, that's my biggest gripe all season has been you have to be able to hit your free throws, because I know what this team is defensively, and you kind of mentioned it earlier, like, you kind of needed them to close out the game, and you were able to finally do that, which I think pretty much the first time this season where I've been really happy with their free throw shooting. And yeah, I just like the fight. Like you said, Florida got up early. It was kind of hitting you in the mouth with just, like, absurd shots, and you just got to keep fighting, and they settled down and played defense and got their offense on track, and I think that's a good sign. You got to be able to fight back in games, you know, if you're going to win in the tournament or just in the SEC down the stretch.
Just looking at individually, like, I mean, the two guys that I was frustrated with last night was, again, Uroš for kind of losing his composure, and Chandler, you know, just not being able to finish at the rim and being a little sloppy. I thought everyone else, you know, other than Mayshak's 2 minutes where, you know, he got there one time and just kind of refuses to shoot the basketball and, like, doesn't want to do anything offensively, and I think got you a shot clock violation. Like, outside of that, you know, Victor Bailey coming in and chucking immediately, but he did get you a big offensive rebound. So, like, I thought the guys who played big minutes all played pretty well.
Yeah, I agree. I agree for sure.
If I'm nitpicking, like, 6 points or even, like, in-the-game situations, I understand he's feisty, but I feel like you need a little bit more size than Ziegler out there, because what happened? They're down six, and they throw it to the corner where he's guarding it, and he can't get out there and close it out. He's just not big enough. And, like, if he does try to lunge out there, maybe he draws a foul. So Florida did get basically a free look at a corner three, and they hit it. So that, to me, is just maybe put a little bit more size out there. And I know he's feisty, and, like, I like his energy, but just when they're going for quick shots, I'd rather have a bigger defender out there.
Yeah. Maybe, but at the same time, I mean, the three-point shot is the one that's least affected by defense usually.
Yeah, but
that's,
I mean, like,
they say.
I know, but just having size out there, because it was one of Florida's small guards that just, you know, wasn't afraid at all to, like, rise up and shoot a three over him. And
yeah, I guess I would maybe still trade a little bit of the size disadvantage defensively for having him on the floor most of the time.
Yeah, just in those quick hitter situations or last possession type of things, like,
right.
And it's just a limitation from him, and, you know, that's just nitpicking. It didn't end up costing you. You did have a 6-point lead, but if that was a 3-point game, I would hope that you'd have a little bit more size out there. Yep. I did think Powell played pretty well, too, despite, you know, 1 of 4, 1 of 2 from 3. But I did think he had a couple good transition moments where he you know, got up, pushed the ball, had a couple deflections, two steals, four rebounds.
He looks more confident again.
Yeah, he does. It does look like he's gained his confidence back. And, you know, that chicken and egg, did he get more confidence because he started getting more playing time, or did he get more playing time because he had more confidence? I don't know. But whenever you're able to actually get there and run for 20 minutes and don't feel like you're, you know, fighting Bailey for minutes despite being much better than him, like it helps, I think. So, like I said, I did think he got out there. And
That one pass to Vescovy, man, that really.
That set up
that
the.
That was a nice move.
That set up the reverse layup.
Yeah, or no, the corner three.
Oh, yeah, that one on the corner three was very, very good. I think Tennessee was down four at the time, and he went baseline and then like a little left-handed pass out to Santiago in the corner. That was a beautiful pass. And that was Powell kind of being able to have some freedom to create more. And, you know, he did lead the fast break. That
he is a better ball handler than I think people gave him credit for.
For sure. And I mean,
there are times that he was the ball carrier in Auburn last year.
Right.
Yeah, I think people forget that.
And he thrived doing it. And, I mean, he's kind of tried to say, like, hey, I'm more than a spot-up shooter. Like, I want to be able to create. And I do think there's been times when he's put the ball in the court and opened up some things. And Tennessee, let's face it, they're going to need everyone to have a part in playmaking. And that's another positive I thought last night. Like, you had, what, five guys with at least three assists?
Yeah.
Six guys with at least two assists. Like, that's pretty good ball movement. Like, Kumwa, three assists. That's a good number for him.
Mm-hmm.
Santiago, four assists. That's a good number for him. He's also doing the scoring he's having to do. Like, Chandler, five assists. Josiah, four assists. Ziegler, four assists off the bench. And Powell with two that we talked about on the fast break and the corner three. Like, to share the load of the playmaking, I do think the team is continuing to improve a little bit. And that's a promising sign. The game against Texas doesn't seem as tough as it did before the season. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, was Texas not preseason top five?
I'm not sure if it was top five or top ten. But
they're
yes,
ranked,
they were
though,
right around
sure,
top
like
five.
Up there.
I
yeah.
thought they were like right around top five, but
they didn't play anybody. I mean, they played Gonzaga, yes, but yeah, outside of that, they were playing a bunch of like sub 200 teams. It didn't really make a lot of sense. And then still in the Big 12, they haven't played Texas Tech, Baylor, or Kansas.
Oh, man, they're in danger. If they...
Yeah, somebody called into to Russell's post-game spaces last night and was talking about how, like, Texas' next five games are just so brutal. Like, they play all ranked teams. They play Tennessee, Iowa State, and they play Kansas, Texas Tech, Baylor.
Mm.
They're 15-5, so it's not like they're really struggling, but they just haven't beaten anybody. And they did start the season number five, according to the AP, so like they were there in the top five. So,
yeah, they had a good game. I watched their game on Tuesday against TCU. They were only two-point favorites. They won by 22.
Yeah, they was the best they've played all year.
I watched that game as well.
But they haven't beat a ranked team all season. Granted, they've only played a ranked team, I think, three times. Yeah, they've played a ranked team three times. They've lost to Seton Hall by four. Got beat by Gonzaga pretty handily, and then they lost to Iowa State by nine.
Okay.
Even outside of that, though, they're pretty inconsistent. Like, they go on the road to Manhattan and beat Kansas State by 13 and then give it at home, you know, a week and a half later, and they lose.
I mean, this is going to be a big game for Texas. They are 12-1 at home, so, like, they've been pretty good at home.
Yeah.
But what's their only home loss? I guess they lost to Kansas State by one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which Kansas State's been feisty this year.
What?
All the Big 12 teams.
Really, they're probably going to get like nine teams in the tournament. So.
Yeah.
What do you think the spread will be Saturday night?
I would imagine Texas is going to be favored by like three. I mean, it's just kind of what it seems like. I think that's a fair number. I mean, Texas and Tennessee are side by side when you look at the KenPom rankings.
Hmm.
Like when you look at the advanced metrics and all that. Like Tennessee's number 14. Texas is 15, so like usually that means like it's basically going to be a coin flip. I think home court advantage will be 3-point favorites, maybe opening up maybe 3.5.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's kind of like, you know, with Kentucky. Like Kentucky was similar. Like now, I think Rupp's a tougher place to play than Texas, but Kentucky opened as 3.5-point favorites, and then it immediately got bet up to 5. So like it might be a similar situation there. Tennessee playing a little bit better, so I wouldn't be surprised if like by tip off it was like 3, 3.5. But, yeah, it's funny, like right here in the KenPom ratings. LSU 12, Texas Tech 13, Tennessee 14, Texas 15. So, like, a lot of teams on Tennessee's schedule just kind of right there looking at you.
LSU should have got beat last night.
I didn't see any of that game.
They were losing the whole game. It's A&M. And then they went on a 9-0 run in the last minute.
Wow.
That's what LSU does, man. Like, they do the same thing to Kentucky. Like,
did Pinson play?
No.
Okay.
They're a gritty team.
They were 10-point favorites, though.
So. No, that, yeah, I mean,
they were
like,
10-point favorites?
Tennessee was.
I texted you that last night. I told you that was.
Tennessee was 10-point favorites, too, though.
Yeah.
I know.
It took a little bit. It took something similar. Yeah. Not a last-minute run, but, like, took a big second half to come back, so. I'm not going to judge LSU for grinding that one out. I think that's more of a positive that Texas A&M didn't even have the lead. Like, they maybe are a little bit more legit than we thought.
I think a game next Tuesday will be tough against them.
It feels like a big one. Like, I know Texas A&M's not going to be ranked, I wouldn't think. Because, I mean, they weren't ranked before they lost to LSU, so, like, I don't think they're going to get ranked this week. But, you know, that's a big game in the conference. Tennessee right now is sitting at 5-3, which would put them at fourth. Auburn 8-0. Kentucky 6-2, and then Arkansas and Tennessee tied at 5-3. A&M Mississippi State at 4-3, I guess, having one fewer game played.
I guess they're not playing the SEC Big 12 Challenge this weekend.
I believe that would be what they would do.
Yeah.
Unless they had a COVID game they still haven't made up. I guess that's possible.
Oh, yeah.
Who are the four teams not in the Big 12 SEC Challenge? What, Mississippi State, A&M, Mizzou?
I don't know. I don't know who it is.
The four teams not in are, let's see. Georgia, Vanderbilt, South Carolina, and Texas A&M. So we kept three of our worst teams out. Like we did a good thing
good
here
call.
As the in the SEC. Texas A&M was the fourth team you probably thought was going to be at the bottom. So one of the rare years where the SEC is just like, you know what, we're just going to send our 10 best. Thank you. We're good.
Who stuck playing Baylor?
Alabama.
That's what I thought.
And
okay.
They'll somehow win.
But it's at Alabama. It is at Alabama.
That does seem like a game they would
like
randomly
just,
win.
It feels like Alabama wins that game.
We'll look. At the SEC Big 12 Challenge, because I do think that's a pretty cool weekend heading
it's
up
one of my
for college
favorite,
basketball.
It's a fun one.
Especially whenever, like, you know, it's nice to be included. Mm-hmm. It used to be, what, the ACC Big 10 Challenge was the only, like, show there, and, like, always was cool to watch that. I was like, I'd like to be a part of that someday. And then, you know, I've liked the SEC Big 12 Challenge, and you guys just said you think 9 teams are getting in the field?
8 to 9.
Be around there, yeah.
Where is the SEC looking at right now? Probably 6, 7 or 8?
6 or 7.
Okay. Yeah, they're looking at Auburn, latest, Kentucky, and Tennessee, and Alabama, and LSU is 5 locks. And then
Alabama's
some,
a lock right now still?
Honestly, maybe not even a lock at this point, but a team that I think that you feel comfortable making the tournament, Auburn, Kentucky, Tennessee, LSU, and Alabama, and then a combination of Florida, Mississippi State, A&M, and Arkansas counts for 2 more.
I think Arkansas
and Mississippi State.
Arkansas seems to be playing their way in. They seem to kind of be figuring
like
things
that combination
out.
Will probably account for.
I think the last Burke told us all they had 16. Tennessee or SEC had 6 teams in.
Okay. So. We'll look at the upcoming weekend of basketball after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Premier Pools and Spas, the world's largest.
All right, let's look ahead. Tennessee. I remember whenever Barnes got here, we weren't included in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. We got left out. Then we got like the low-tier TCU team.
We got Kansas State that 1 year. We dominated them when we were getting
on the
bubble.
That was with Donnie, though, wasn't it?
No, that was with Rick.
That was with Rick.
It was when I was a senior in high school.
Because I was driving, but I drove that game. So.
Do we play Kansas State 2 years in a row? Are you sure that wasn't Donnie Tindall's year?
It was in Thompson Bowling, I know.
Yeah, no, but are you sure that? I thought that was Donnie.
No, that was.
I'm pretty sure I drove the game.
I'm 100% confident. I was a senior in high school. Me and my dad went.
I thought
Rick Barnes was the coach, and they had approximately 9 people in our student section.
I still
right
here. You beat Kansas State.
I still think it was Donnie. I thought Donnie still played Kansas State. What was that?
I think 14, we did play them multiple 14, times.
15, right? 14-15?
No, that was 16-17.
No, we played them in 14-15 and not.
Yeah, we played them 14-15.
Yeah.
Kansas State,
65-64.
That was Donnie's first. That was Donnie's year, right? Because Josh was our leading scorer. Yeah. Okay.
We also played.
How are you gaslighting me,
Charlie? The one that Charlie's talking about is we played them in 2016.
Okay.
In
we
Knoxville,
played Kansas State.
Kansas
at
State
home.
Again.
So we played them twice.
Played them twice at home for some reason. It within we played. Kansas State, and then we played.
I don't know what year Charlie's a senior in high school because I specifically said 14. I specifically said Donnie's
year. Here's a picture of the scoreboard.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. No one cares when you were in high school. I said.
And it is January 28th, 2017.
And that's fine. I'm looking at the score right now. It's December 6th, 2014. Donnie's year, like I said. Don't gaslight me. I don't know when you're a high schooler.
I was telling you in 2017. I said I was a high school senior in 2017.
I don't know when you're a high school
senior. I said I was a high school senior in 2017, and I went to the game, and that's when we played them. And I remember, and there were 9 people in the student section. Look, there's the student section, 9 people. Don't question my memory.
And it was what year you said?
2017. January 28th.
Okay. But that's not what I was I was talking about. Donnie playing them. That's all I was saying. Like, Donnie played them.
It's so weird we played them twice at home.
Yeah.
Both in the challenge, I assume?
Yeah.
I guess so, right?
We played, so we didn't play the first year, and then we played Kansas State the year you're talking about with Donnie. Then we played at TCU, and then we played Kansas
lost
State.
Lost that one. That's whenever Pat Forty tried to stick the knife in Tennessee fans whenever we lost to TCU.
Yeah.
that was the day he was like, look what you got, Tennessee fans. You got what you deserved.
Bum.
We have the best record of any SC team in the SC Big 12 Challenge.
What are we? I mean, like we haven't really had to play in the juggernauts. We had to play Kansas that one year.
We played Kansas twice.
We're 5.
But one of them was both of them. One of them was just a tournament, right?
No, we played at Kansas the SC Big 12 Challenge and lost.
Okay,
and then we played
that was the challenge.
That was my freshman year of college, so 2 years ago.
I just felt like that was earlier in the season than at this point, but I guess not.
Mm-hmm. I think
I knew we had played.
It wasn't that close. I don't think.
No, it was a little frustrating.
Did we play them thrice?
I thought we had played them in like a preseason tournament.
Because there was
too.
We played them in December one year. I remember.
Yeah,
that was with Grant and Admiral, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
And then we went there and got baptized, I want to say, like after Grant and Admiral gone, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's the actual challenge. So we're 5-2
and then
one.
We beat them here 2 years
last year.
Or last year, yes. I mean, like we've played them 3 times and only 2 of them are in the SEC challenge, right?
Yeah.
So we're 1-1 against them in the SEC challenge.
And you said we're 5-2?
We're 5-2-1. Yep.
How? 5-2-1.
How do we tie? Did not play.
Oh, okay. So we tied.
I was like, who
did I miss something? So 5-2. Now, so I don't know. I guess we drew Kansas twice. So that's that's usually the Big 12's like anchor.
Kansas twice.
Kansas
TCU.
State twice, apparently.
Yeah, Kansas State twice. TCU. What
played
was it?
Iowa State.
We played Iowa State and West Virginia. We beat the hell out of West Virginia
at home. Yep. Killed them.
Yep. We beat the hell out of West Virginia after the football game. That was nice.
Think we win the Big 12 SEC Challenge this year?
Well, that's what I was going to look at because I do like it, and I do think, like, I know that, like, we don't talk about conference pride and all this stuff, but I do think it matters in basketball. I do think this is a big opportunity for Tennessee's resume. I do think it's a big opportunity for the SEC's conference RPI. Like, do you guys still go to the bleep 'em mentality here? Or, like, are we rooting for the SEC? Because I think it's a good thing to beat the Big 12 in basketball.
Yeah, in specific, I'm never like a pro conference, root for your conference guy, but in certain situations, specifically in basketball like this, it's just good for your conference, it's good for your tournament resume, it's good for everyone if the SEC does well. So this weekend you put your hatred aside, and I think you do root for the SEC. I mean, everyone's net jumps if you win.
In the 8 years of the SEC Big 12 Challenge, the Big 12 is 4-2-2. So
the SEC is 4-2-2? Is that what you said?
No, the Big 12 is 4-2-2. So the SEC would be 2-4-2.
Or 2-4-2.
Yep. Yeah. For some reason, Baylor 7-1 in this. They win. Texas is 3-4.
I think we go 6-4 this year.
Well, I mean, over the last, how many years you said?
Baylor this 8 years.
Over the last years, I mean, Baylor, excuse me, feels every bit as good as Kansas has been, right?
Baylor's lost like 8 games since 2019.
But I mean, from a prestige standpoint, do you still think of Kansas as the number one in the conference, or is it Baylor? I mean, I know they won a national championship last year, but it still feels like people think of them as like second or third. Like, are they number one?
I feel like Kansas has lost it a little bit since their conference win streak got broken.
Yeah, sure. Although the conference win streak didn't get broken that long ago, right? I mean, it's only like
I think it's
2 years
ago. 2 years in a row they haven't won. But there for a while, it was like 12 or 13 years in a row.
Yeah.
So that kind of like So I feel like that gave him a little bit of a mental edge on the other team. It was like, oh, my God, we're playing Kansas. Like, they win every year. Like, we can't do anything against them.
Well, I do just remember that from, like, Kevin Durant's year in Texas. Like, I was always watching them, rooting for them, and just they couldn't get over the hump against Texas to – or against Kansas to win the conference, it felt like.
It just kind of depends, I feel like, on how far back you want to go to say whether Baylor has taken over.
I mean, I was just going, like, 8 years. Like, since, like – because I feel like Baylor's probably benefited from, like, in this challenge, like, not drawing the number one in the SEC, because I still feel like Kansas has gotten that. And, like – even this year, like, Baylor gets to play Alabama, which I know maybe preseason Alabama was thought to be better, but, like, I would like to see who Baylor's opponents have been in the challenge, I guess, is what I'm saying. Because I doubt they're drawing, like, the big one every time.
Kentucky the first year.
Okay. Well, there goes that theory.
Vanderbilt.
Okay.
Georgia.
Was Kentucky the loss?
It might have been a year Kentucky was actually not good if it goes back to, like, 4-10. It might have been the year Konzo, like, they missed the tournament. Like, we beat them by 30 that year or whatever. I guess that would have been 13, not 14. But
Kentucky was number 3 at the time.
Okay.
Baylor won 67-62.
Okay.
They were number 20.
What year was this?
That was 2013-14. So
that was the year they went to the Final Four.
Yeah.
They were the 8 seed, though. It's like they did slide. Like That was the year they were the 8 seed, right?
That would have been Kansas last year.
Wichita State?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was that year, right? Because then they played.
We made
they played Louisville
that year,
in the, they played Louisville in the Sweet 16.
Yeah. That was that year, right, when they beat Wichita State, went to the one seed. So, like, Georgia's never been good.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
I mean, I guess they caught the tail end of Vandy being at least decent, like, in 13, it sounds like.
Then they played Ole Miss.
Yeah. So, it's kind of what I'm saying with Baylor. Like, I think they've kind of gotten, I don't want to say lucky, because, I mean, obviously
they're
a great basketball
program. Have they drawn better
program.
Teams recently, though?
2017, they played number 20, Florida.
It's a little bit better.
Not really.
And they played Alabama in 2019.
Which Alabama wasn't. What Alabama turned into. So, yeah, they've kind of gotten, like, the third or fourth draw, which has benefited them. But, you know, now they're playing an Alabama team that was supposed to be at least preseason. They were probably supposed to be, what, one or two?
Yeah.
Like them or Kentucky was kind of the thought.
Yeah. Okay. Last 2 years, Baylor's played Florida again and then Auburn.
Okay.
So
we'll look at the actual weekend matchups after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Your pet.
So last year we won, Hayden, SEC.
Yeah, we went 5-4 last year because Texas and Kentucky didn't play due to COVID issues. So we only had 9 games last year instead of 10.
Tennessee-Texas might be the swing game this year. Let's see. LSU's probably going to beat TCU, right?
Yeah.
I would imagine. Maybe not, though. TCU's 7-2 at home.
Yeah. They looked awful in that Texas game, though.
Okay, I haven't watched a second of TCU basketball.
Yeah, that was the first time I watched them, and like Hayden said, like I think Texas was only like a 2-point favorite going
in. They were
a 2-point
favorite.
Blew them out.
I would imagine Auburn's going to beat Oklahoma at home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Iowa State's probably going to pound Missouri at home. West Virginia, Arkansas, toss up.
Maybe they'll chant overrated.
Baylor probably going to beat Oklahoma. Ole Miss, Kansas State, toss up. Florida, you think Florida's going to beat Oklahoma State? Probably. Kansas, probably going to beat Kentucky. So Mississippi State, Texas Tech. So Mississippi State, Texas Tech, that's probably going to be a Texas Tech win, right? So that's 4.
Yeah, I would say Arkansas is probably going to beat West Virginia, though. I wouldn't call that a toss-up.
Okay, well, Tennessee needs Florida. Tennessee needs to win 2 of the 3, Florida, Tennessee, or Arkansas. So like to get to 6. That's what it sounds like, right?
I think they can. I don't think Florida's going to win.
Yeah, I think Oklahoma State's going to beat them. Oklahoma State's beaten one at Baylor this year. Yeah.
Oklahoma State doesn't make any sense, though. They're 10-9 and lose and win at random.
Oh, they're very inconsistent, yes. But they have the potential to.
For what it's worth, if you look specifically at BPI, then you would have the SEC winning. Sorry.
Is that Castleton guy going to be back for Florida? I think that probably will.
I don't think they bring him back for a non-conference game.
Yeah.
He missed three games in a row.
Based off
a significant injury. I don't know. Have they given a timetable on
him? He wasn't lifting his left arm on the bench if you were watching the game last night. Like, every time he was cheering, he's raising his right arm, like, high-fiving people, but he wouldn't lift his left shoulder.
I mean, when I hear significant injury, I think of, like, a month at the very least. So, like, I would think he's going to be out until, you know, late February. Now, maybe I'm wrong, and I don't know exactly. I assume you said it's an arm injury or something.
I mean, just the way he was – they said it was his shoulder, so like he wouldn't move it at all. Yeah. So like, I was kind of surprised he wasn't wearing a sling.
Yeah. The BPI favors the SEC in five games.
Okay, so 5-5.
Yeah.
Okay. Is the Florida favorite on that?
Yeah, Florida is a 77% favorite in that game, and then Ole Miss is a 51% favorite. Baylor is a 60% favorite.
Okay.
Arkansas is a 75% favorite.
What's the Tennessee one?
Texas is a 60% favorite.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, Texas, the BPI gives them a pretty big edge over Tennessee. I want to say it was like even like 62 or 65.
It is 60.2.
Right? Oh, okay. I misread that then.
Which is about what you'd expect.
Then. I mean, that's not too
going bad. On the road like gives you an extra 10%.
Yeah. Not terrible.
I think the Kansas-Kentucky game kind of depends on if Washington's going to play. Kentucky just looks kind of lost on offense when Tata's not playing.
I mean, they don't have a lot of, like, I guess, confidence in other primary ball handlers, I feel like, to run that offense for a majority.
I mean, they blew a big lead the other night. I think they're about, like, 13 or 14
points. Yeah, well, part of that,
points.
Too, was Iverson Molinar just going unconscious.
They couldn't guard him.
Half.
And as thrilling as it is to hear you guys talk about the point guard play of whoever the hell you're talking about.
Iverson Molinar. You need to learn the name because in a week and a half we play Mississippi State on the road.
Are they legitimate? Mississippi State's good? Is that a game you would project?
With Kentucky.
Is that a game that you would project as a loss right now?
I wouldn't.
On the road at
Mississippi State? I would say it is a real 50-50 kind of game. I mean, 9 o'clock on the road when they have a star is just – tough.
I honestly wouldn't be surprised if we lost either that game or Texas A&M. Mm-hmm.
I think, honestly, I think you probably do go like 1-1 in those two.
Yeah,
2-0 would be a win, obviously.
Okay, so I mean, like I've been thinking of the Mississippi State game more as a game Tennessee should win. Maybe that's one that's just like a coin flip, and I should take more seriously whenever I'm just looking at the schedule. Now I know Tennessee's not capable of just walking in and beating anybody. Any road game in the SEC is tough, but
yeah, I mean, it's just the fact that they have a guard that can give you 25 points.
Yeah,
yeah,
big guard.
No,
not necessarily small, but he's just like
will he like tower. Like, he's not going to tower over like Vescovy.
No.
Okay.
I mean, I'm trying to say, like,
I feel like we struggle with big guards.
He's not wide or muscular necessarily. I guess he is
a
little
top,
lengthy.
Yeah, like a little
okay.
When you look, I'm pulling up his. He is.
I mean, obviously, Tennessee's weakness.
He's 6'3.
Right.
But
so
he's also 190. So
Tennessee's guards are pretty small.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't know if like that was going to be a matchup where we had, you know, just a.
He is the kind of guy that will just rise up and shoot over top of people that are guarding him.
Yeah, he shoots a lot of mid range.
But one game at a time. Not focused on Mississippi State just yet.
Yes,
they play good defense and they shoot threes on kickouts. So like they're tough. Is
Ben Howland still there?
Yeah,
yeah. Good for him. They haven't had like any big success, but it seems like he's at least got.
He was looking rough the other night.
I did not realize he was still there.
He did. He looked like he needed a walker.
He did. And like Kentucky was kind of like coming back and just like battling back with him, and he was getting close, and he just looked like he was about to have a stroke with the sidelines. He wasn't expecting it to be a close game.
Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two of headlines. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.